Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
So we have been working through the question of what's it mean to be part of a church. And we have been working through a few of the chapters in the book of 1 Corinthians, which is, again, a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And they were a church that was dealing with some really messy stuff, and he wrote them this letter to kind of outline the solution to a number of things and clear up some theology and different stuff like that. And so we've looked at chapter 12 that was talking about how we're all different parts of one body. We looked at chapter 13, which was highlighting how we need to love like God, and that needs to be our top priority. Last week, we looked at chapter 14, which was all about how we need to make sure that the message is clear to those who hear it. And today, we're going to look at chapter 15. Now, I'm gonna share some perspective here for me. I have been in the church my entire life. I have grown up going to church. I have known the message of Christ my entire life, and I have known about the reality of heaven and hell as eternal destinations my entire life. But as you get older, you start to look at people and you look at situations and you start to wonder, like, are they going to make it? And there are points, and there have been points, where I have looked at the reality of eternity, or the thought of eternity, and thought about heaven, and I don't, maybe there are some of you that can relate to this, but I've thought about heaven, and I've thought, okay, so if we're just going to be standing around singing, like, am I going to get to heaven and it's just going to be like I'm trapped in, like, singing Gaither songs? Like, is that what it is? And interestingly, you start thinking about that, and heaven almost, you can actually twist that enough very naturally to think, this idea of eternity is kind of scary. Good or bad, it's kind of scary. And then you start thinking about the idea of hell, and it can be so overwhelming and horrible that starts to bother you. And then you start thinking about people that you care about and people that you love, and like, are they in the right place? And then you start thinking about them facing hell, and it's just like, I can't think about that. I don't want to think about that. And then there are questions about, like, what about other people in the world? Like, is this the reality of our world, that there is a heaven and there is a hell and there is an eternity? And, like, and it becomes very uncomfortable. And at some point in my faith journey, I kind of started focusing more on the present world. And you may be in the spot, or maybe somebody you care about has been in the spot, where that concept of eternity is just so big and so scary that you have decided to focus more on the present. Maybe you've looked at things and you've looked at family or friends and thought, you know what, I don't know if they're gonna make it. I don't know if they're gonna believe. And so you start focusing on the present, or you start justifying things, and you're like, well, Well, maybe the Bible, maybe what the Bible really says is that it's really not about believing specific things, but it's are you a good person? Are you good enough? And so you start trying to focus in on, well, if people are doing the best they can, then that's what matters. Or you start to think, you know what, if they've got a good reason for what they believe or what they do, then that's what's important, as long as they're not being selfish. Or maybe you just have these big questions and you're like, well, what, it's not possible, like there's just so many contradictions. How can everybody that doesn't believe be doomed, or that's not like God, or like maybe you start to wonder, like, maybe I'm not right about this, and how can I live my life and say these things if I'm not right about it? And so you start feeling those things, and you start to get really uncomfortable with this idea of eternity, and so you pull back, and like I have at some point in my journey, started to shift to wonder, well, maybe it's more about this present life. The problem is, I shifted my thinking to be more about this present life, and it didn't really fix the conflict. Because when you stop thinking about eternity and you start thinking about this present life, you start looking at the world as it is, and you're like, man, this world is messed up. And you look at the pain that you feel and the pain that other people feel and the pain of people around us and in other parts of the world, and you start wondering, how can this pain and this horror be part of God's plan? How can God be good and all this stuff happening? How can these good people be suffering like this? And there must be something wrong with this situation. Or maybe you look at your life and there's bad things happening to your life or to those that you love and you care about, and you're seeing people getting sick and people being betrayed and all these things are going badly and being torn apart, and you're like, how is this good? Did I do something wrong? Does God not love me? Does God not care about me? Does God not want good things for me? Maybe God isn't happy with me, and you start feeling ashamed or guilty or scared, and you're like, well, but I hear that God cares about his people, so maybe God doesn't care about me. And then it leads to this question of, maybe God isn't even there, and that's why all this stuff is happening. You see, you get scared of eternity, so you focus on the present, and then you look at the present, and it just feels so incredibly empty and futile. It can lead to this very empty, dark place. And so Paul, writing to the Corinthians, clarifies what this life and what eternity really is. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'll tell you, taking the time to read this whole chapter is worth it. But I just want to highlight a few things from here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 19 to 20, he says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In verse 49, he says, and just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. And then in verse 58, he says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. just from those four verses, and you can read that whole chapter, and he outlines how essential this matter of resurrection of eternity is, that Paul outlines and says, you know what? You were made in the image of God, you are humankind, and Jesus came as a human, and he died, and he rose again to life so that he could hijack our destiny, our destination, and he wants you to have eternal life. And so just like he was raised from the dead, you will be raised from the dead, and eternity is a reality. And he says, you know what? If the only hope you have is for this present life, and if even it's the hope of Christ, but just for this present life, he's saying you should be pitied among everybody because your life is still futile. He says the hope of Christ is not about just this present life. It is bigger than that. It is longer than that. It is eternity. It is resurrection. And it is foundational to meaning and life and purpose. And he's saying, listen, Christ was raised from the dead, and you too will be raised from the dead, and eternity is the reality that we face. And then he goes on and he says, you know what? You need to give yourselves fully to this and stand firm in it. Because you working for the Lord and working towards that eternal change, that eternal reality is not working in vain. We know that Christ rose from the dead. We know that we are destined for resurrection. And Christ's eternity is worth the present pain. And we all... You may have questions about the theology, you may have questions about the historical accuracy, and we can talk about that at some other point. But I've wrestled with those questions too. And I've talked about some of those questions in different sermons. You can go back and you can listen to sermons we've done on the resurrection and why I believe in the resurrection and how, like, just all the evidence points to that being a historical, realistic event in history. But there is a simple truth that I think everybody in this room understands about eternity and resurrection, and that is simply, you all know that the long term is more important than the short term. You guys know that because when you go and you are raising your kids, they always want everything right now. And you say, the best things in life are worth waiting for. You guys know that it makes more sense to save up to buy the TV than to take out a loan to buy the TV and pay interest on it. You guys know that it makes more sense to stay home and cook the meal yourself and eat it than to get fast food all the time. You understand that it saves more money, that it's better for you, there's better nutrition, and your life is going to be better. You guys all know that the things that take longer, that are harder, have the longer effect and are more worthy of your time and attention than things that are just in the short term. You guys see that, you understand that, and that is the fabric of our existence, that the short term needs to be given up for the long term. You guys use that in making your wise decisions about your finances, about your health, about your family. You guys tell that to your kids. You guys understand that reality. And Paul is saying once again, listen, this is not simply about our present life. This is not simply about having good things and a good hope for right now. There are good things right now, but that is not the end goal. He's saying eternity matters. As big, overwhelming, and scary as it can be, eternity matters. And I think what this boils down to for us today is that We need to invest in the eternal results, whatever the temporary costs may be. I'll tell you, I got to the point where I felt like, listen, if this is just the present reality and this is all there is, then I get to the point of wondering, like, is God even there? And he responded. He responded and showed me very clearly that he is there. And I needed to stop running away from eternity. The reality of heaven and hell is overwhelming and at times terrifying. But it is a reality nonetheless. And the steps we need to take is to invest in eternal results, whatever the temporary costs may be. What that means is how we live our lives needs to be focused on producing the best eternal results possible. And if that means you need to invest now, if that means you need to sacrifice now, if that means you need to go through pain now, then that is worth it because of the eternal results. It means maybe you need to give up some of your finances, or whether that's the job that you're doing that brings in the certain amount of money, or just the amount of money that you're saving, or how you handle your money, or what you're buying with your money. Maybe you need to start changing how you run your life with your money, because you know you could actually be making a more significant difference in somebody else's life or in your family's life by using your money different and not getting all the other stuff that you wanted or that you think will make you happy in the temporary time. Maybe it's this matter where you need to start really following Christ. Even if it's going to affect your job, even if it means you can't do your present job anymore, even if it means it's going to affect how your family looks at you or your friends look at you, or maybe you're going to lose connection with family members, or maybe you're going to lose connection with friends, or maybe there's going to be problems where you actually get physically hurt and face pain because of your stance with Christ, because you are following Him. It means that we need to share our faith. And that doesn't mean we need to be obnoxious with it. It doesn't mean we need to get up and start yelling at people. I don't think that works. We need to make sure the message is clear, right? We talked about that last week. We need to make sure the message is clear to everyone who hears it. But we need to admit that we are followers of Christ and share it, even if it affects our reputation. We need to give up that sin that we have been holding on to and justifying our lives, even if it will cause a fight, even if it will ruin a relationship, even if it will ruin you financially. We need to give up that addiction that we have been holding on to, even if it will make life harder for the short term. That means we need to be vulnerable and invite other people into our lives, even though they are absolutely exhausting. It means we've got to serve others. Even when you're done serving and you've served before and you're tired and you've served, it means there is eternity at stake. And we need to keep serving. Do not give up, he says. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is in the Lord and is not in vain. You need to keep reaching out to people, and you need to commit to getting your family to know Jesus. We need to invest in the eternal results, whatever the temporary costs may be. And when you start doing that, and when you start facing that, and you face that pain, and you face that fear of the eternal, whether it's the fear of hell or the fear of heaven, or just the idea of something way bigger than you, or the fear of that there are people that are going to hell and you're scared of that and you don't like that, let me tell you folks, you're not supposed to like that. That is supposed to suck. If you think about hell and you smile about it, that is a huge problem. You're not supposed to like that reality. It is supposed to be painful. But it doesn't change it from being reality. Which is why it's so important to invest in the eternal results, whatever the temporary costs may be. And when you do that, you will find that you get changed, that your eternity, your destiny changes, that you may actually see your family get saved. You may find that people around you get saved. You may see your community get saved. You may see people who you thought would never, ever, ever come through these doors or talk about faith or decide to follow Jesus, those people may actually be changed. And you know what? It's entirely possible that this fear of eternity and this fear of the pain and the fear of all this stuff hits you so hard because the enemy wants you to avoid sharing your faith with those people. Because he knows that if you share your faith with those people, they will change. You ever think about that? That the reason you're so scared to share your faith with other people and why you have assumed that certain people cannot be saved is because the enemy knows that if you are confident in Christ and confident in your faith and share Jesus with them, that they will change. I tell you, that fear of sharing your faith doesn't come from God. That fear of investing in the eternal does not come from God. That is the enemy. And he doesn't want you to invest in the eternal because he doesn't want people to be saved. He doesn't want people to have life and life to the full. And he doesn't want them to have eternal life. Paul makes it very clear that it is essential for us as those that follow Christ who are Christians as a church that eternity is a reality and resurrection is something we will face. And his final phrase in this chapter, in this section is, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Invest in eternal results, whatever the temporary costs. The worship team is going to come back up. And they're going to do a few more songs here. And some of you may be sitting there and you feel good, you feel encouraged by this message, and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep going. I'm on the right path and I'm gonna keep going. Great. Some of you may be here and say, yeah, man, I gotta change a couple things up. Others of you are wrestling with this and thinking, well, I don't know if I can do what it is that God's calling me to do. I don't know if I can share my faith that way, or I can give up that thing, or how do I convince my family that we need to change how we live and what our priorities are? And others of you here maybe thinking, man, if this is really true, then I've really got to surrender my heart. I've got to give up my life to Christ. And I don't understand it. I don't know how all this works. I don't know how this is all going to play out, but I know I've got to surrender and choose to really follow Jesus, because I need to invest in my eternal destiny, regardless of what it's going to cost me right now. Don't avoid any of those things. Over these next few songs, whatever it is that the Lord has put in on your heart, I want you to pray through it, talk to Him about it. And if you need to talk to somebody, or you need to come up to the altars and just like physically get out of your seat and come forward just as this physical statement, engage your body into where your heart and your mind is and submit to Him and say, God, I need help giving this up. God, I need to surrender these things. I need to change what I'm doing with this. Or God, I want to surrender my life to You. Then you come do that. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If you've got somebody else in this room that you're thinking, man, I really need them to pray with me, then you go over and you grab them. I don't care. You take the next steps that God is putting on your heart here this morning, and you invest in the eternal results, whatever the temporary costs may be.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.